So everybody's been really hesitant, you know. It's been like a summer of code project to Google Summer Code to do a new installer. And they're hesitant about that. I think Ivan Boras did that one, Feinstall, you know. And it was like, well, but it's got Python in it, you know. And so there's been various efforts over the years. And yet, here we still are. It's 2011, and sysinstall was still in the running, right? And so a few years ago, Chris wrote an installer called PC sysinstall that has been used in PCBSD for quite a while. And it's a pretty powerful installer. It's the back end to the graphical installer, which obviously isn't suitable for FreeBSD at all. So when you start thinking about, well, can we replace the FreeBSD installer with PCBSD as a more powerful installer? No, you really can't. It doesn't run over a terminal. You can't run it over, you know, a console or a serial port. Those are important things to some people, and so that wasn't really suitable. But we did finally manage about a year ago to get the back end of PC sysinstall, which we didn't even really have a good name for the two parts of the PCBSD installer, but the back end we decided to call PC sysinstall. So we brought that into FreeBSD, and that's fairly powerful, and it's used in a lot of different places. FreeNAS, the new FreeNAS rewrite uses it. PFSense 2 is using it. A number of people are using it for doing automated installs. I've helped Juniper set up their auto install rig to use it. We use it internally at IX Systems to do installs, and it works pretty well. Still needed a front end. We kind of, you know, worked on writing a front end for it. We had some ideas. We tossed them around. And finally, a guy named Nathan Whitehorn said, you know, if we don't do something, right, if we don't do something, here's what's going to happen. We're going to ship 9.0 with sysinstall, right? And he said, and personally, he has a pretty deep hatred of sysinstall. I don't personally hate sysinstall. I just don't like it. But he really, really doesn't like it. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take matters in my own hands here, and I'm going to write something, and I'm going to put it in. And if you want to take it back out, you can. But you know, this is what I'm going to do. And he did it. And so far, nobody has taken it out. So there it is. So we talked to Nathan about the disadvantages of having, you know, multiple installers in the system, and we talked to him about merging it in to use PC sysinstall. And he said, yeah, that'd be a great idea to use the back end to be PC sysinstall, to have the front end be this BSD installer. But unless that happens, it's got its own back end, right? And we're going to use that. And since that's already written, that's what's going in. And if you want to talk about, you know, using something different in the back end, be my guest. You know, I'm all for that. But for right now, this is what I've done for right now. So this is what you get. So that's kind of where we're at today. We have a new installer in FreeBSD. He calls it the provisional installer. He doesn't really even think it's the final solution in its current form, but he thinks it's better than sysinstall, and I do too. But it's not complete. So I see my next slide is actually rambling on a little bit more about sysinstall. I really don't know that there's anything here I can say to anybody here to tell them about the evils of sysinstall, other than FreeBSD has moved on, and sysinstall hasn't, right? FreeBSD has kept up with technology in a lot of different ways, and sysinstall hasn't. You know, we have ZFS in the system now, and you can't use sysinstall with that. You just can't. We have these neat software RAID systems. You know, you can create software mirrors or software stripes. Can't install with sysinstall to those. You know, systems can have wireless now. You can't configure it with sysinstall. So in a lot of ways, the installer has lagged behind the technologies that are available. And you start looking at some of the more complicated, you know, complicated FreeBSD installs that are possible. And you go, well, I've installed ZFS on root to GPART, but the installer can't do that. I had to drop to a, you know, boot a live CD and drop to a shell and install manually and not use the installer. in reality, the installer is hard enough to use as it is. You know, I joke that I've installed enough FreeBSD systems that I can use the installer with my eyes closed just by counting key presses, right? But if you can't do that and you start actually looking at the workflow in sysinstall, you start seeing things like, you know, sometimes you have to press tab here, and other times you have to press space, and other times you have to press enter. And it's not always incredibly intuitive which way, what you're supposed to do. And the state engine in sysinstall gets confused enough that sometimes going back isn't really an option, and you can get it very confused. And we've actually ran into a situation where fairly experienced system administrators at fairly big companies that deal with a lot of different Unix systems, we'll ask them, you know, well, why didn't you try FreeBSD? And they're like, we did. We tried. We tried to try FreeBSD. Well, what stopped you? We couldn't get it installed. You know, and you go, wow, isn't that a horrible barrier to entry when an experienced Unix system administrator tells you that he didn't install an operating system because he couldn't get the, you know. And so I believe that there's a XKCD comic that was published a couple of years ago, and it's about some guys drinking, and they start drinking, and they come up with these more and more outlandish schemes. And one of the last, it's like after 12 beers, their outlandish scheme is, let's go install FreeBSD, right? And it's just like, it's like, no, but it's true, right? You know, the barrier to entry has become our installer. And so for all technical, I mean, we could wax on about technical reasons and talk about some of the technical problems with sysinstall, but it just had to go, right? And shipping 9.0 with sysinstall was just untasteful to a lot of different people. So we have some options, right? What we can do. The new installer that Nathan brought in, the stopgap installer, that's what he called it. It's yet another shell-based installer, and he's brought it into head. So right now, if you build, you know, a head snapshot, it's the default installer you get. And his stated design goals were to reinvent as few wheels as possible. So he didn't want to redo something that the system already had a way to use. So for instance, he uses gpart, you know, to do partitioning. He didn't feel the need to write a partitioning tool. It's extensible. It's a shell script, right? So you toss stuff into the shell script and it does it. It doesn't have a scripting language. It's just shell. And then he identified one of the weaknesses of PC sysinstall, which is written completely in shell, is it does a minimal amount of parsing shell output. And that is, in his opinion and mine as well, one of the biggest weaknesses of PC sysinstall, in that small changes to the text output of userland commands could potentially have a disastrous effect on PC sysinstall, in that it would stop working and you wouldn't know until you ran it. A little bit earlier in the week, Juniper told us that they're going to be bringing in XML output for a lot of our userland commands. And while that's not very interesting as a user, it is interesting in the terms of, you know, that's exactly what PC sysinstall needs. If it can't parse kernel output for something and it has to parse output of a command, parsing XML is far less likely to break than the amount of tabs or spaces or columns, or, oh, we added a new column to gpart show and now this installer stopped working. Hopefully the output wouldn't change. So while the parsing might be difficult, once you get it done, it's not going to change out from under you. Whereas somebody, adds a column, hey, it'd be useful to show something else in gpart show, and all of a sudden your installer stops working, and we're tracking down bugs. So I think that's sort of the idea. Some of the advantages of BSD install is it supports all the architectures that FreeBSD supports, including tier 2 architectures. Yeah, did you have a question, or were you just pointing at me? Okay. So you can install to the 4 PowerPC systems that people want to install FreeBSD to, the 3 Sparks, and I heard there's an Itanium out there. Nathan and I don't agree on that as much. He puts far more importance on alternative architectures, and I live in some sort of x86 world. The glue being written in shell is a big win. Being able to script it is easy, right? You write some shell scripts. Oh, you don't like what his part of user add does, you write your own, you know, or you point it at something else. The floppy support is gone. That was a big deal in sysinstall. Like, it used floppies in a lot of different ways. And I had looked at taking that out about a year ago, and it was surprising how much of sysinstall depended on floppies, like floppy-sized disk files being chunked up. Now, I've never done a FreeBSD install off of floppies, and I come, like I said, from the 2.1 days. So I've been installing it for a long time on hardware. I've booted systems off floppies a couple times, but never actually done an install. And so to me, it was like a no-brainer to get rid of the floppy disk file thing. You know, why are we chunking up our disk files into 1.4 meg blocks? Yeah?
As the guy that made it 1.4 meg, I can have a question for you.
Yes.
It used to be 360 because that was the size of disks.
Yeah.
I said, this is not very efficient. And I got so much resistance from Jordan and others that said, well, if you have an FTP error, then you only have to refetch the small chunks you haven't got. So I was only allowed to take it up to the size of the big floppy. How did the same issue not get brought up again?
I don't think people care so much anymore.
Cool.
They're not fetching over the internet quite as much. When they are, connections are more reliable.
Cool.
And you know, the disk files are on ISO, and you know, these days grabbing a 500 meg ISO just isn't a big deal to people. And you know, in 1995. I remember I tried to download FreeBSD, and I finally had to order it from Walnut Creek because I was on 2,400 bit per second dial-up, and it was taking a week to do.
It was about 2,000, so just, that's 1.4 is because too many people feared that even though by then floppies were out,
yeah. I think it's broken enough that it doesn't recover as it is anyways. Like, FTP errors are pretty much fatal in sysinstall.
No, but you're manually FTPing them down.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, nobody has mentioned that. Yeah.
Cool.
Did you have a question, Brad?
I was just going to point out, we offer downloads via BitTorrent, so that has a hashing functionality.
That's true, that's
moved
for BitTorrent.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the biggest things that not chunking up the disk files gains us is when you're doing CD-ROM or optical-based installs, it's fast, right? It's really slow to do a CD install where you're telling it, yeah, I have 71.4 meg files I want to install. CD-ROMs don't like that. They take about 20 seconds to seek, and then they spin up, and by the time they're spun up, oh, the transfer's done, and so... By pointing them at a couple of large files, it's significantly faster. I did some rough performance tests, using VMware and using different chunk sizes and stuff like that. And as far as I could tell, just from my rough tests, it's about 20 to 25% faster to use a single compressed archive as opposed to chunking things up. And so, you know, that's not, you know, it's not a huge deal, I suppose, when you're talking, you know, modern systems are installing at 10 or 11 megs a second, and the install that part of the install process is, you know, a minute. So you go, well, it's 20%, so it's 40 seconds instead of a minute. But for some people, that matters. The other thing that sysinstall was using the chunked floppies for that was actually the hardest thing to figure out how to fix is it was determining its transfer rate based on the chunks and determining its progress bars based on the chunks. And so you could feed it one chunk. You know, I built a release one time with the tarballs on chunk, and it was like installing the system, 0%. You know, transfer rate, zero. Waiting. 100%, done, next. You know, and so you never had any idea how fast it's going. And so that's why we didn't just switch it before this. It was because it was like, and then you start going, well, we could fix that, but that means fixing system, and nobody wanted to do it, right? People were very unreliable or unwilling to sink more time into sysinstall.
Randy was going to do it.
No, she wasn't. She said she was going to do it, but no. And there were a few people. There was a little bit of work going into sysinstall, but in talking to some people, it was mostly just fixing bugs and taking out legacy broken code and stuff like that. But nobody was really doing, you know, nobody was rewriting sysinstall to use ZFS. I mean, it was just, oh, yeah, we can't do that. So, the other advantage that BSD install has is it's using a new libdialog, and so it looks nicer. And the interface is more intuitive. When you press enter, it does what you think it should do. You don't have to remember some, is this where I press space or tab? Or do I press enter here? Do I press tab, then enter? So that is a fairly nice improvement that came in with it. So the other installer option that you have in FreeBSD right now, that's in head right now, is PC sysinstall. Warner Losh actually did the import, and it changed our paradigm a little bit with PCBSD in that we had PC sysinstall in the PCBSD repo, and so when we were making changes there, we would just change it and use it. And now that we have it imported into FreeBSD, we're actually pulling it. So when PC sysinstall or PCBSD releases go to be built, it pulls in the FreeBSD part of the repo that has PC sysinstall and uses that. So the FreeBSD location has sort of become the authoritative point. And there were some people that wanted to work on PC sysinstall that had FreeBSD commit beds. And so it was just easier for them to go, well, here it is. If you want to hack on it, go ahead, as opposed to two external, a different repo that they had to use. The backend, which is the part that's in FreeBSD, is really quite an ideal tool for scripting automated installs. The configuration file is easy to figure out. It's got a lot of documentation and examples, and it has a really nice feature in that every install you do in PC sysinstall is essentially scripted. And so if you're getting stymied by building a script, but you know what you want to do, you can just run the PCBSD installer and click through it the way you want, and then it'll spit you out a script. It says, well, here's the script. And then you can take that and use that. So I've even used that a few times myself where I'm just too lazy to figure out the script for it. And so I'll just do an install, and then, oh, here's my script. Great, I'll use that somewhere else. A long time ago, I used to do scripted sysinstall stuff automated. And it, to be honest, after about the third one of modifying the script and then it didn't work and then push it and try it, I got so sick of it, I replaced sysinstall with a shell script, right? And writing the script was harder than writing the installer, and that's just not a good idea. So PC sysinstall has that going for it in that if you can't figure out from the examples, if you can't send an email to Chris or me or Doug or somebody who knows how it works, if you can't figure it out, you can always just last resort and boot PC sysinstall in VirtualBox and do what you want, and then, oh, here's the script. We have a work in progress right now to merge the back end. Right now, BSD install uses its own shell script back end, and so we have work in progress to make PC sysinstall better suited for being a FreeBSD installer and less dependent on user land tools. We have an intern working on that right now who's busy coding up parts of PC sysinstall that are parsing shell output that could be parsing kernel output. He's doing that, rewriting some of it in C, and then we'll be slowly migrating the back end in pieces. Since BSD installer is modular and so is PC sysinstall, it's really easy to say, use this part of it for this, use this part of it for this, so we don't have to bite off the whole thing in a whole one entire big chunk. So here's the other way that you can install FreeBSD. This is my plug with my PCBSD hat on. You can use PCBSD to install FreeBSD. And to be honest, it's a really attractive option, especially if it's a system that you have a console on and a CD-ROM. It's just easy. So there's a checkbox in the PCBSD installer that lets you select between doing a PCBSD install and a FreeBSD install, and you can just select the FreeBSD install. Oh, you want ZFS on root and all this fun stuff and GPT, it'll just do that for you. It's really, really nice. I've used that a number of times and had pretty good luck with it. You can see my thing on my slide. I got ahead of myself, so we can read again. So on our to-do list for what needs to happen or what we'd like to have happening, right now BSD install also, like sysinstall, has no no way to install to ZFS. And it turns out that what's missing is some sort of volume creation tool where you can create ZFS volumes, slice them up. That's also the case for things like gmirror and gstripe and things like that. It turns out that creating volumes is not well suited to, well, it's sort of an object oriented paradigm. When you think about a volume, it's kind of like an object. And it turns out that shell scripting isn't really a great object-oriented language. And you'd really want to do that in something that's object-oriented in PC, BSD. I believe it's in C++, isn't it? Yeah. So that works out pretty good. But writing this is hard. It's tricky. And it hasn't been pleasant. There have been a couple attempts at it, and it's been sort of, yeah, no, that's not right. And so at a certain level, need somebody to step up and write a volume creation tool, and that's looking like it's going to have to be in shell, and it's looking like it's not going to be pretty at all. Another thing that needs to be done is the merge with PC sysinstall. It says on here, complete it. You know, in reality, it a lot of it hasn't started, right? Nothing's been committed that even starts it. The rewrite is being done by an intern, and so he's, you know, generating patches that have to be reviewed, and those are just against PC sysinstall at this point itself. And at some point, we'll be ready to start the merge into, you know, well, it's not done. It's not even started, the merging part of it. And so, you know, as we get closer and closer to this thing called 9.0 and code freeze and everything like that, the clock is really running. You know, it's in there, and it's been debugged. The release process has been modified to change it, but if nothing happens with it and it stays the way it is, it's going to ship without the ability to install to ZFS. It's going to ship without the ability to create gmirrors from the GUI, and that's that in a lot of different ways. Then you start to go, wow, we had an installer that you couldn't install to ZFS. We had an installer that you couldn't install gmirrors. And of course, testing, the more it gets used, and the reason it's in head right now, the more it gets used, the more bugs can get found and fixed. And that's a big deal. You know, several people have talked to me, important people, about not wanting to cause lockout based on the installer. And my response has been, oh, you mean lockout different than the lockout we have right now? Well, what do you mean by that? Well, people can't install FreeBSD because the installer sucks, you know. And so how is this different? Well, if they can't install because it doesn't work with their heart, yeah, okay, great. Anyways, I threw up some links here for some of the wiki pages that Nathan and I have worked on. And I don't even know why one is blue and one is white. That was interesting, but I guess blue must, I don't know. But there's some of the work that's going on there and some of the design philosophies. The PCBSD install merge, of course, is the interesting one, I think. And I'm sure Nathan would say the BSD install one is the interesting one. So that's about all I have for slides. But what I also have any of you looked at the BSD installer? I'm going to fix what? I'm going to take care of that right now. Now, my real question about this is this the installer or is this the system that I installed? I don't even know. So we're going to find out in a second. We might have to reboot it again. Let's see. One of the really nice things about... I can see because it's recovering a journal that it's a system. So we're just going to turn this off.
So, Josh, I have a question while you're rebooting that thing. So is BSD install a C front end to a shell scripted back end, or is it the whole thing shell scripted?
It's a shell script that's a front end to various C and shell programs.
Okay.
So there's a mixture of both.
I see.
A lot of it is shell.
So here's a stupid question, is why didn't Nathan use the one that was already imported in, which
PC sysinstall? Yeah. I've contemplated driving over to Wisconsin. He lives kind of close to me and asking it. No.
Yeah. I take it he's not here.
No. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. He says that he couldn't understand that it didn't fit in the time frame that he had to work on it.
Easier to write.
It was than to figure it out. Okay. And it, in all honesty, PC sysinstall is complicated. It's big. You know, understanding it, I still, to this day, even though I use it quite a bit, I still run into situations where I have to ask Chris or John or somebody who knows, you know, like, what do we do here if I can't figure it out? Or what's it doing here? How does it deal with this? And he didn't have a huge time frame. You know, he didn't have 2 months to work on it. He did this thing that I'm going to show you in less than 2 weeks, you know, was initial overhead. And you could have spent 2 weeks figuring out PC sysinstall. I know that because I've had to do it.
So has there been enough testing on this? I mean, it's already the default, right?
Yeah, it seems that most of the showstopper bugs have been fixed.
Yeah.
You know, the things that stop you from installing, that's not a problem. The doc people are unhappy about it because it changed the way that they do docs and include docs, and they're saying it regressed docs back to the way we used to do them. So, like, in 8.2, it would install packages with the that's all gone. So, but other than that, so installing is pretty simple. Let me just get my virtual machine to recognize that I've attached to it. So, that's not doing it. Where's my mouse? There we go. Right, so you do an install, and it walks you through a step of things. We evidently don't live in an English-centric world, and so we have to scroll way down. It's kind of like setting the time zone in the current system. I don't know.
Yeah, was that not fixed, the accelerator, lack of accelerator keys?
I don't know. It might have been. To be honest with you, I don't spend a lot of time with this installer. We're going to do guided, and we'll use the entire disk because that doesn't, I would love to. And there's our GPT all on root, and that looks really good. And I would love to save that. And now it's going to go. And, what's that? It was running Noofs, I believe. Yeah. So. It's a lot easier to use than sysinstall, and like I said, I'm quite a fan of being able to install an operating system with my eyes closed, and I have confidence that if I use this 10 or 20 times, I could do that for this as well. You'll have to forgive the slowness of my virtual machine. I'm running CFS and something else and this laptop, so I/O performance is not exactly stellar on it.
Josh, can BSD installer install over FTP, HTTP,
any of
that stuff?
Yeah, you can grab the disk files from FTP.
Okay.
So.
Josh?
No.
So how scriptable is this? I mean, I know it's all scripts, but if someone wants to, you know, install 500 machines, for instance.
Nobody
I know wants to install 500 machines. And how are they
going to
go about building up something that does that for that?
What I would recommend, to be honest, is that they use PC sysinstall for that.
Okay.
That would be the scriptability of this, I think, was put in as enough to keep people quiet, to keep them from backing it out, as in we can't have a non-scriptable installer. But in reality, if you're going to do a scripted install, the PC sysinstaller is so much more powerful and flexible and documented and tested that it wouldn't make sense to, in my opinion, or in anybody's opinion, I think, to try and do anything else.
So once the merge is done, though, this will have the same...
This will have the scriptability. It will have because it will have PC sysinstall as the back end.
Okay.
So that will go away. So, yeah, the way that you script this is in RC local, it calls a shell script and you add stuff to it. Right, I mean that's the scriptability right now when it boots this live CD. So, it wants a root password, so we'll give it that. And it will do some network configuration. It will do wireless if you have a wireless interface. I would love to set time zone. This is where we get to scroll down for this too. I don't know. There might be a fast way to do this, but
we skip that. We'll still stick it to UTC.
Yeah. Yep. And you can turn on a few things. So I don't know. I don't know what turning on PowerD in a virtual machine does, but we'll try it. Don't I add some users? No, I really don't. Actually, I don't need any users, but I will exit. So. No, it just turns it on. The default configuration in FreeBSD works for most cases. So it just puts NTBD enable in rc.conf. Yeah. So this is the other nice thing about this as installer, is it's a plain, good old-fashioned live CD, right? So if you need a FreeBSD environment, you can just boot the installer, and you have it, because this is where you're in. So that's something that's been sort of frustrating with FreeBSD over the years, is the dist files for the packages have become more or less important. An actual FreeBSD installed disk wouldn't give you much if you dropped to the shell. You know, if you dropped to fix-it mode, there would be nothing there, unless you had the DVD. And this on a CD, right, has the whole shooting match.
And what happened to all the, as you said, that was why we kept losing the live and fix-it CD. Where did the packages go? Not complaining that they're gone. This is more valuable.
They're gone.
How does it work? They're just gone.
Yeah. So when they roll the ISOs for the release management side of things, they'll put the packages on here, right? So these provisional images don't have, you know, he didn't run make release dot or package split dot by or any of that crazy stuff that Ken has to spend 3 weeks. Man, I managed to squeeze by taking screen off. I got KDE4 onto disk one. All that stuff. None of this has been done on these test images. And so there are no packages on the image.
But it sounds like this was done in a way that RE can't take the live CD ability away like they could before.
Right. That is true. So there is no recreating this custom thing. So you've got a full FreeBSD user land, and then I'll shut it down and boot into my other full FreeBSD user land, which is the installed system, I guess. I don't know. And I think everyone here knows what a full FreeBSD system looks like, so I guess that's not really particularly very impressive, but we have the capability, so sometimes when you can do something, you do, even if it's not a good idea. The other thing that I noticed in building these is that soft updates and journaling is on by default in head. And since my laptop occasionally, it sleep works most of the time, but sometimes it doesn't. And so sometimes it doesn't wake up and I've had to power cycle it. And I've had to power cycle it with these machines running. And I've noticed that soft updates plus journaling on root is enabled. And so that's really nice, not having your virtual machine decide that it's going to fsec for 20 minutes after your laptop doesn't wake up. So whoever turned that on in head, that's a nice feature. So anyway, so here's our installed system. Wow, we have FreeBSD on it, just like we always did. And it's using GPART as opposed to MBR. And I believe that this is a PMBR setup. So you can add a number of partitions, and the system will still boot even if it has a BIOS that wants an MBR and only wants 4 partitions on the system. So all in all, it's a good stopgap, but obviously we would like to throw a lot of resources at it and sort of finish the job, because we finished part of the job, and that's getting sysinstall out of the base system. But we haven't finished the job in that while this is okay, and I think better than sysinstall, it's not as good as what I would like to see. And so hopefully what we're hoping to do is find some people to step up and say, yeah, let's finish this. Let's get this done. Yeah?
So sysinstall is also, a tool, albeit a shitty tool, but a tool after post-installation to maybe add a user or whatever. Can this do that as
no.
well?
No. You have to know how to do things using
Does David Wolfskill know about this?
I don't know. I hate to speak for him because I don't want to be killed. So, yeah.
Okay. No, it's just the disc part. No. Just the disc. I mean, I don't really care about it. I wonder if it's our people that will. That's what the DMC is.
There's a lot of, you know, how much is an installer, a system configuration tool, whatever. Exactly. Yeah.
I was going to ask if that came up. I mean, every time we talk about replacing system install, you get up into the philosophy. And, for instance, the YAST installer on SUSE Linux is what its approach was and worked really, really well. It's got long, kept saying this is what we have to do, is you break it up. One is flat bits on disk. The installer, splat bits on disk. When first boot, it says, I have no configuration, jump into the configurator, and the configurator you can run at first boot, at 30th boot, add the user's config, you know. Yes. It is that split of two things. Has Nathan purposefully, consciously gone in that direction?
No. And in reality, this is the result of if we don't do something, we're going to have sysinstall in 9.0. And this really, quite frankly, is what it is. And it's impressive for what it does and the amount of time that's been put in it, but it's not finished.
But no, I mean, you know, in a way it is. If this is just the installer, the purpose is flat bits on disk, done. Mm-hmm. Now we need the configurator to replace the new configurator that is in sysinstall, or a sysinstall with the installation bits ripped out, like, say, with the disk editor with the bits ripped out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the philosophy of do you have the one thing that does both, or is it just splat bits separate from the configurator?
My philosophy has always been the installer splats bits onto the disk, and then the system administrator configures the system after it's installed. And so this works really well with my philosophy, which is I don't I've never used an installer to add users or turn on services or anything. You know, sysinstall was just get a disk file, enter, select, done, reboot. Right? And so this fits really well with me. And if there's people who want that sort of tool, they're going to have to write it. Right? We're going to have to come up with it. Because it left to, if I have anything to say about it, I'm going to say it with inaction and go, I'm not going to be part of writing it or bringing it in. So deal. It's kind of, and if you don't like it enough, write something. And that's sort of where this came in, you know, is Nathan was just like, yeah, we need to do something, and so he did. So, yeah.
What's the PCBSD philosophy?
I don't even know. The PCBSD philosophy is a totally different user set, yeah. Right?
No,
and
no,
so
that's a different user base, but
right.
YAST is also for the person that doesn't know what they're doing. I mean, it's very easy.
It walks you through everything that you need to do.
If you want to
hear about
that.
Yeah.
Initial install, I don't provide all the usernames.
But you can do all that. It has that functionality. Then they have separate tools that let you do that post-installation as well that aren't necessarily related to the install.
The PCBSD install is very much like a Windows install, right? It'll ask you, do you want to set up a user? You really should. You should probably give them a password, you know,
sure.
And stuff like that. But while you can add a bunch of users in that, you don't have to, right? And so, and most PCBSD systems are a single user. And so they're like a Mac. You know, you set up one user, and then that's all they ever see, right? Yeah. So that. But that's a different. You know, in my mind, a PCBSD system is more of a desktop for a desktop user for either a novice user who wants to get into using a Unix-based system, or somebody who just doesn't like. I use PCBSD just because I don't want to mess around. I ran a FreeBSD desktop for 15 years, and it got exhausting. Right. In 2008, I bought a Mac because I kept track of my hours maintaining my FreeBSD desktop, and I was like, "Wow, I have like $11,000 into I was consulting. I said, "This is ridiculous. I'm getting a Mac." Right? I could have bought two for that. Well, one and a half, anyway, maybe two. But PCBSD is a lot like a Mac to me. Right? I install it. I click on. I put on a couple of PBIs, and I haven't touched it since. right? And I just use it. And it's got this horrible KDE4 thing, and I just deal with that. But someday, the promise is PCBSD9 will come out, and I'll be able to use a real window manager again, and life will be good. So that's what I use it for. It's, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, Doug and I sit there, and people have questions, like IX Systems, the office, everyone uses PCBSD, right? And so we'll run into this problem, right? There'll be a problem, and Doug and I will be like scratching our heads. How do we fix this? How do we fix that? You know, how do we do this? And then finally I'll break down. I'll be like, we've tried everything we know how to do. You know, we've reinstalled and we've, you know, done all the, and Chris is like, I wrote a shell tool for that because it was such a common problem, you know? And so this is the PCBSD way. You run the shell, right? We'll be like, oh. You know, here we have almost 30 years of combined FreeBSD experience, and we're like, oh, we don't know it. So in a lot of ways, PCBSD isn't a FreeBSD, you know, it's a FreeBSD system designed to just make it really easy. So anyways, I digress. I think that's about all I have on installer stuff, unless people have more questions. Really, really what we could use is help merging PC sysinstall and BSD install and get it using the PC sysinstall backend. I think that would be the greatest benefit. Immediate. The second biggest thing that we could use is somebody who really is into pain writing a volume creator in shell, right? Or writing a volume creator in C or something else in the base system that we can then plug into it so that you can do volume creation aside from dropping into a shell and creating them. And that's, like I said, that's turned into, that's problematic. And thirdly, if somebody would just say, yeah, go ahead and write an installer in Python and we'd finish it in a couple days, because we have volume creation tools in Python that we've written for like FreeNAS and stuff like that that we could easily bring in, but there seems to be a lot of pushback to the installer having chunks in it that the installed system won't. So we had problems with that. People yelled and screamed, and I don't understand why. Anybody have anything else? I guess I finished up a little early. I have a habit of doing that. I talk fast or something. Maybe I'm, yeah.
Hey, I'd really like to see like a graphic with a console embedded in the graphic during boot. Like every Linux has had for 10 years. Can I see that? Can we get that?
We can do static. You want like an animated one?
Yeah.
Yeah, who put that in? Who is going to do that for us? Somebody did?
Right, I thought I saw some.
Who did that, Chris? We were waiting for somebody. Oliver Fromm. Yeah, did that ever get done? Is the graphical bootloader in head? Did he? Nobody know. I don't know.
Oh, it's still on the wiki.
Yeah. So no, we don't have that. We don't have that. BSD is all about the things you don't have, right? It's not luxury. Our new motto is suffer in silence, right? So suffer in silence. I'm all about that. Yeah. So, yeah, FreeBSD does some amazing things, and it's a fantastic system, and I've used it for, you know, 15, 16 years now, pretty much almost exclusively for a lot of different things. And but every once in a while, you kind of, yeah, it would be nice if it could do that. It would be nice if it could do that. So nobody has anything else, then I think I'm done, and we can go recreate. Thanks for listening in, and appreciate you guys.
How in the world are you running KDE on that laptop?
Running what?
KDE4 on that laptop.
It's PCBSD, dude. It's what it has. Yeah.
No. I've been here on the plane. I finally set aside the time and I burned the newest.